Got to Drive, guys. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. It was just a few days ago, wasn't it, that the 49ers were still waiting to come out of their funk, and the Kings had been humiliated in Houston, and now the 49ers just destroyed Jacksonville, and you got the Kings back in first place in the Pacific Division.
Everything is right, right? Yeah. Everything is right here in Northern California sports.
And you have a special guest for us.
Yeah, I got to bring in my guy, the original K-9. He gets mad at me when I call Kevin Herter K-9. You see him with me the last couple of years on NBC Sports California, New Mexico's finest. I know you don't do that no more, big fella. Kenny Thomas K-9. What's up, man? Thanks for jumping on with me and Whitey here. How you doing, man?
I like the way you opened that up because you knew I was going to give you crap about calling. And you knew I was watching the game, too, but it's all good.
Anytime I call Kevin Herter K-9, he hits me up on Twitter. I mean, on the text. He hates it. It bothers him. And so that's why I said it that one time. Because I knew.
It don't bother me. There's only one original, bro.
Kenny, first of all, man, thanks for coming on, man. Honored to have you. We had some great times on TV together.
Yeah.
What do you make of this Kings team so far this season, man? Here they are, 5-4, back above 500.
Man, first of all, let me say what's up to your co-host right there. We can't be rude like that. Ain't that bad. What's up, bro?
I am rude, though. I am pretty rude.
Hey, Kenny. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, bud? Yeah. As you know, man, like you guys just said, they're back on track, looks like, and it's going to be interesting to me to see how the Western Conference is going to play out, right? Because last year it was like tricky, and not that it was a little surprising that the Kings got the third spot last year, but it's one of those things. The West, man, it's always been strong, and especially how they started last year, right? They went 0-4, and now they get another opportunity to come back and try and do something special. They gotta do a better job on the road, man. When I was watching the Kings play my old other team, the Houston Rockets, and lost by 20 on the road and then come back day in between and lose by 30, I'm like, whoa. I think everybody started panicking, right? But come home, take care of home court, which is what they've been doing. Foxy's back, which was huge. So maybe they can just get on a kind of a little winning streak, especially about to go on the road again, right?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Kenny, can having been through those five games without Fox, can that make the Kings a better team, having come through that, now he's back?
You know, whenever you have a superstar that goes out, you're losing a tremendous asset. And the way that they played with him out with those five games, it could have came across like, okay, are the Kings really for real, right? Because those things are going to happen. It comes with adversity. And Kevin Herter started out slow, and now he's kind of turning around. And here we are. We're only 9 games in, 1 game over 500. It's going to be nice to see how they gel together. And I feel like they're still young and still learning a little bit.
Kenny, you've played with some of the game's greatest players. What was your mindset when a guy missed time, when AI was out, or Stevie Franchise or McGrady or somebody like that was out? What was your mindset as a teammate?
Man, let me tell you something. When I was in Philly with AI went out. Chris Ford was the head coach. Glenn Robinson went out. Then they come to KT. And the next thing you know, man, you got to step up. Like, that's why they're making the big bucks. The salary cap when I was playing like $50 million, now it's $136 million, man. So these kids are making great money. They just got to come out and perform, and guys just got to step up, especially guys like Sabonis. I would love to see him like just take the 15 to 17 foot jump shot. I don't even see him looking at it. I would just take it so they can honor it a little bit, because I think he can shoot 50%. You know what I mean? Just taking it. So
yeah. Kenny Thomas, a 12-year NBA veteran. Nice stuff. Join us, longtime King. Do you think Keegan can become the second, speaking of Sabonis and Fox, can Keegan become the second best player on this team, Kenny?
I think he's on his way. I like how Keegan is attacking the basket, which is what Mike Brown's been kind of trying to instill in him to be more aggressive. Obviously, Mike Brown wants him to shoot the ball more, but I love how he's attacking. And I feel like, you don't always got to shoot a shot like that unless you're, like, wide open. I used to, like, get myself going in, like, that mid-range shot. And Keegan's been doing it. He's been putting the ball on the floor, mixing it up mid-range, and attacking the basket. But him being so athletic and looks like he put on some weight and got stronger, he just looks way more solid.
Kenny, obviously, you know, the Kings had that long playoff drought. If I'm correct, you were on that team that last made the playoffs. What was it like for you seeing this franchise get back in there this past season?
Man, it's been nice. I was able to work with you and Matt and Katie and Mark Jones and Morgan and Deuce. And we all, you're already there, but me and Matt, Morgan and Deuce, I think, came in around the same time. And it's been nice being able to see how everything is unfolding. And I feel like the way the Kings are going right now, they're on track. But it's going to be hard to see because the Western Conference is the Western Conference, right? I hope I answered your question.
You didn't, but hey, you know I'm going to call you out, right? You know I'm going to call you out, big fella. The question was, what was it like for you being there and being in that building, seeing the Kings get back to where they should be?
Let me tell you something. People are getting mad at me because I kept saying it last year, and I think I drifted away from it when I was on TV. But being able to talk about it 16, 17 years later, coming in and working for NBC, obviously they were losing that first year, and then they came back and they turned it all the way around. And being able to be up there with you and Matt in the playoffs and being a part of that Kings basketball, it was nice, man. That's why I can't stop watching even though I'm not on TV no more.
Kenny, I'm wondering if you would be willing to share with us the secret of rebounding. Because, I mean, you weren't huge by NBA standards, obviously listed at 6'7". I mean, you averaged, one year, you averaged more than 10 rebounds a game. So you were dealing with a lot of guys, not always, but bigger guys, heavier guys, and yet you were a double-digit rebounder. You put up some big rebounding numbers through your career. What is the secret to rebounding?
Thank you. You hear that, Kyle? Giving me all this love.
I know, right?
I like your co-host, bro. See, you could have teed me up like that, too, when we were on TV, bro. But, man, it was Larry Brown in Philadelphia told me one thing, man. You can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. And I had to figure out a way to stay on the floor because everybody in the NBA, to a certain extent, can score. But guys like me really didn't get opportunities like that to score, so I had to go get it off the glass. I was the shortest to average a double-double, I think my second year under my big contract in Philly, and it was just desire, man, and hard work, and you got to be in shape. I have my own personal trainer, and being able to work out in New Mexico with the elevation helped because it made it easier when the games came. So. Man, sometimes I used to study guys like Dennis Rodman, and I used to study, like, you can kind of see, like, the angles of, like, where the ball is coming from. Say you're in the corner. If you're, like, right there, you can kind of see if balls are short or if they're going to be long. So I just used to take chances and kind of guess based off of where the ball was coming from and in which direction it might go.
Does it frustrate you, not to mention any names, but when you see a player who is more gifted physically, has the natural gifts that you would need to be a rebounder, but who isn't as good a rebounder as you were?
Okay, what kind of question is that, man?
Well, I mean, I would think.
See, you were kissing up
thing.
To him earlier.
No, if I'm Kenny Thomas and I see a big guy and it's like, and then they're getting four rebounds a game, I would be sitting there screaming at the TV like, come on, you have to work harder. That's all. That's all I mean.
I got you. I would have to work harder. Four rebounds, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. If I had 12 points and 8 rebounds, I'm happy. But at the same time, I would come back and I would try and get a double-double. I mean, 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
And if I got less than 8, that was a bad game to me. Mm-hmm. So, and when I see guys are not dedicated and committing to the team, especially when it's on the defensive end. We gang rebound and we get out, right, and run. Mm-hmm. But I love the way the Kings are getting out and running now. They really weren't doing that in the beginning. And it just seems like the flow is coming in. And I think Mike Brown is just still trying to figure out the rotation also.
Yeah.
My guy, Kenny Thomas, joining us. Kenny, obviously you had a long NBA career. What's your favorite NBA memory as a player? What's one memory you look back on and say, man, that was some good times with these guys?
Man, I had a lot, Kyle. I got to play with some great players and play against some great players. Allen Iverson, speaking of him, I just texted him the other day because, you know, him and Shaq got the whole president, vice president thing, and he came to Albuquerque for me. So I would say being around AI and being able to play with him because he was so short and he could do so much. But playing against Tim Duncan and Kevin and KG and guys like that, man, it was a challenge. But at the same time, they had to guard me.
You want me to wrap it up, Whitey? I don't
want to offend
he's
him
looking at, no,
any further.
You know
no,
what?
You ain't going to offend me, man.
No.
Trust me, I done did TV. I done heard it all.
Doug, Kenny's offended me this whole offseason. We ain't played golf together. The dude been in sack.
It
ain't hit me up.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
Why do you think that, Kenny, do you have a theory on this? This is true, and Kyla said this on the air, so I'm not speaking out of turn. Kyla said this on the air. He said, I cannot play golf when I'm around Kenny Thomas. He said, I don't know what
did
it
I
is.
Did I really say that?
Yes.
Yeah, I did
you
say
know
it.
Why.
I always play and bad around you.
Why,
you know that, big
why do you,
you
think
that
is?
Because right? He's played bad. Because he was trying to beat me, and he can't.
Well, hey, some of us actually work for a living still. You know what I mean? You're working on your golf game. When the last time you played, Kenny?
Yesterday.
Exactly. See,
yeah.
You got plenty
Valley
of free
high.
Time to play.
You're in his head,
Valley
Kenny.
High.
You are way inside Kyle's head.
And then I played in a William Jessup golf tournament at Valley High yesterday. And then I played Sunday. And Jerry Rice was out there. We had Tim Brown out there. You had some other guys out there, but it was a good time. I've been working on my game, Kyle. I just got back to Albuquerque, and I'm going to be here for the holidays. But I'll be back, man.
You need to hit your boy up. Hit your boy up, man. Kenny Thomas.
Hey, Whitey, you can never offend me, bro. We're good.
All right. Yeah.
You can never offend me.
Great. Awesome.
Hey, just don't call Kevin Hurt or K9. We good.
I would never do that. I would never do that to my guy, Kenny Thomas. Yeah. Hope you have a white Christmas in New Mexico. I was there once in Albuquerque. We actually got snow. Hope you get snow this year, Kenny.
I appreciate that, but I don't think I'll be here that long to get all that down.
Let's get out when you come through, man.
Yeah, man. You guys let me know. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm checking out the Kings and all that. So if you guys want me back, let me know what's up.
You got it.
All right.
Thank you, Kenny. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you both.
All right, bro.
Kyle. Appreciate
all right, man.
You, bro.
Peace. Nice.
All right.
Yeah. So how come you can't play golf?
I told you, I'm a firm believer, like, your golf game is impacted by the people you play with.
Yes,
and for
I know,
some reason, the vibes are off when I'm with Kenny. I don't know. That's my guy. We're good friends and everything, but for some reason, you know what it is? Now that he's not on air anymore, right? He's not. Kenny's the type that gives you advice while you're playing. That's the worst thing. Golfers know when you're not playing well, the last thing you want to hear is from another golfer. Oh, you should be doing this. You should be doing that.
Oh, and it kind of gets under your skin.
Yeah,
I
got this, big fella. Don't worry. I'll be okay. I'm just having a bad day. So I always have a bad day with him. It bothers me, man.
And if he finds that out, you're toast. That's all you're going to hear for 18
right,
holes.
Right, 18 holes he's going to get in my head, right?
A quick timeout when we come right back. Keegan Murray, defensive stopper, next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Last night, Kings over the Cavs, 132-120. The Cavs didn't know what hit them. Cavs score 120, they lose by 12. That's not supposed to happen in the NBA. They had just beaten the Warriors, Cleveland had. They came in last night with a size advantage over a team that had been struggling a little bit, De'Aaron Fox's first game back, and the Kings just destroyed them. I mean, that was game of the year, certainly. How long has it been since the Kings played stem to stern, top to bottom, that well?
Yeah, it's been a while. And, earlier this season, the offense was clicking, but maybe the defense wasn't. The defense was clicking, maybe the offense wasn't. I thought yesterday they really put it all together on both ends of the floor. And, you know, you talk about this Cleveland team, one of the things that they're so good at is you know, points in the paint and their size and length and every, and the Kings held their own points in the paint with them. You know, Cleveland was a top 10 points in the paint team. I think not a number nine. Sacramento actually had two more points in the paint, holding that team to only 50 points in the paint. I thought that was huge last night.
It's fair to look at that game last night and wonder, well, how much of that is repeatable? Because, you know, 59% is probably not repeatable. We know the Kings are an excellent offensive team. They were last year, but you're not going to shoot like that every night. But one of the things that's happening, that's evolving here with this team that I think has to be extremely encouraging is the way Keegan Murray, with all the focus on how many shots he's knocking down, he has become one of the team's better defenders. He's become the guy who's guarding Steph Curry and then last night, right, Donovan Mitchell, and doing a good job of it.
Yeah, and we saw a little bit of it in Summer League at the California Classic. They were trying some things out, having him guard the opposing team's point guard. But what we're seeing from Keegan Murray is something I didn't know he had in him. Let's be real. I never viewed him as a defensive stopper or a great on-ball defender, especially of smaller players, because I wasn't sure about his quickness, his lateral quickness, his foot speed. But he's impressing me. Obviously, he's turned me into a believer. And how about Mike Brown putting that kind of weight on his shoulders, saying, you know what? We're going to put you on Steph. We're going to put you on Donovan Mitchell, the other team's best perimeter player.
Mm-hmm. You've got to have to compete at the highest level in the NBA for championships and the like. You've got to have, you know, three elite players. Can the Kings have that? Can it, with De'Aaron Fox and then Sabonis and then Keegan continuing to evolve, could those be your three, you know, I don't want to use the word superstar. We throw the round too much here. We
your
talked
big
about that
three?
Earlier. Can they be a legitimate big three that can help you get into the playoffs in advance?
I think so. I think Fox and Sabonis are already there, right?
That is the plan, right?
Yeah, that's the plan, exactly. And we're seeing Keegan now, especially these last two games, really blossoming on the offensive end. We knew he could shoot the ball, but now he's doing some other things. He's rebounding. He's defending. And so that's a lot to put on a young player's shoulder. We're talking about a second-year pro, but let's not forget, he was the number four overall pick for a reason, and it wasn't just to be a role player, you know? And so I think this was the plan all along. Like, you draft Keegan number four not to be a 14, 15-point-per-game scorer, but to be a star,
right?
You know? Like, and
that's how you have to do it as a small market team.
Right, exactly. And I could argue maybe the thought might be that, you know what, in terms of offense and scoring, Domas may have to take a step back in terms of, and Keegan becomes that second leading scorer on this team.
I think Domas would probably be fine with that.
Yeah, right. Because he can impact the game in so many ways, talking about Domas.
But Kenny Thomas is right. Domas still needs to take that mid-range. I think did he take one last night? He made a three. So, but you can just see it's there.
Right.
And he looks at it.
He took two threes last night.
Yeah.
I'm okay with two threes.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
And step in the right direction.
I thought the first one was no hesitation. I thought both of them, actually. But, you know, the mid-range game, like you were saying, the 17-footer, he has to take that. He took 10 shots last night, but he got to the line 11 times. And so, and he was going against 2 7-footers, too. And so that was encouraging. But, no, you're right. For him to be what the Kings need to go far, he has to be more complete. It can't just be all, I'm going to try to overpower you, because sometimes, like we saw, you can't overpower Looney. Mm-hmm. He's just as strong as you. Sometimes you got to knock down that 17-footer.
How good do the Kings need Sasha to be? He's been very good the last couple games, and we know that he is going to need some time to develop and get accustomed to things. De'Aaron Fox talked about that last night. You know, Sasha came over here by himself, and he's just getting acclimated to the culture, let alone the basketball. How good do the Kings need him to be? I think they need him to be, at some point, very good, very much like what we saw from him last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need what we got from him last night. You know, 11 points, you know, three threes. If he can knock down three threes when he comes in, he needs to provide instant offense. It can't be all on Malik Monk's shoulders with that second unit to score. He has to be a scorer for this team. So Malik, Sasha, and when Trey Lyles comes back, those are your three scorers off the bench. And so He needs to be a 10 to 15 point per game kind of guy, I think, for Sacramento.
And JaVale McGee did what he had to do, right? We talked about how he had to be ready when the opportunity arose, and then unfortunately Alex Lynn getting hurt, and we don't know what his status is, but JaVale McGee came in and did some nice things in limited minutes.
How about that? Yeah. Having depth at that center position, something this team hasn't had in a number of years. You know, if Domas got in foul trouble, who was that backup center? Who was going to – Rashawn Holmes? Well, you know, he struggled there his last year or two in Sacramento. Chimezie Metu, you had to go small. But now you can actually come back with another seven-footer, a veteran that's won three championships. And so I like the depth of this Kings team when it comes to that center position.
Not to put you on the spot. This is my opinion. No, this has nothing to do with you. This is my opinion. You know, Rashawn Holmes was not a good fit for Mike Brown's system.
Correct.
And sometimes I wonder if maybe Davion's not a great fit for Mike Brown's system. I think Davion is a very good player who I think his ceiling is a very good backup point guard on a very good team, maybe a little higher than that. And it just, you know, he was, as a rookie, what he averaged, double figures as a rookie. I wonder sometimes if he is a great fit for exactly what Mike Brown is asking of him. So we'll
it's
see.
A great question because we saw the game against Portland, I believe. Was it Portland? Yeah. Portland, when he played extremely well.
Right.
Still came off the bench, played, it was aggressive. But to your point, I think Davion's best in a more traditional guard-oriented offense, you know, where the guard has the ball, initiating the offense. I don't know how you know, great he is playing off of Domas. Like, it should be easy, you would think, but, you know, it's a tough position for a guy that's had the ball in his hands because we saw it during his rookie year. Fox went out. He was tremendous, but the ball was in his hands. He was the decision maker. Mm-hmm. And Mike Brown's offense is totally different.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. And again, I think he's an excellent player. He's got a future, NBA future. I'm not sure if he's just from things he said and things we've seen, if he's totally comfortable with the way the Kings want to push tempo. I don't know. Just something to keep an eye on going forward. Because it was a surprise he didn't play last night. On the other hand, you know, Keon Ellis just, when he got his chance, he seized the opportunity.
He did. And it's not about scoring the basketball. It's just playing the right way, you know. Like you said, pushing the ball. I thought Keon's defense has been tremendous.
And He's a disruptor.
And I could argue Davion's defense, you know, it's in an interesting position right now. I don't think he's been as strong as he'd like to be defensively. And it's not for a lack of effort. I just think maybe he's trying. I know this sounds crazy. He's trying too hard. Like, he's overplaying things. And so, like I mentioned yesterday, guy drives right. Davion's, like, going way right to try and cut him off. But then you're leaving open to left. And so I just think he's struggling right now. But we've seen flashes. The Warriors game, I thought Davion was one of the best players on the Kings team. We saw it in the Portland game as well. And so we know Mike Brown will turn back to him at some point.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, hey, the Kings, guess what? They're in first place. But we return the conversation to De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, superstar? If not, is he close? What does he need to do to get there? Next, with the Drive Guys on Sackdown. 3-9-11-40, 1-800-920-1140. You want to check in? Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper, Drive Guys on the text line here. What is up with Alex Len? Misspelled it, but that's fine. What's going on? What's the latest with Alex Len, who was hobbling off the floor last night?
Yeah, Alex Len hurt his right ankle in that second quarter of last night's game. The Kings just released saying X-ray and MRI imaging confirm Len suffered a moderate high ankle sprain. Moderate high ankle sprain. So he's out tomorrow against the Lakers. His return to action is to be determined.
He'll be out a while.
And his is a little bit different than De'Aaron's, right? De'Aaron's was just a moderate. I don't think his was a moderate high ankle sprain, right?
Right.
And those usually take longer, right?
Yeah, I think a little trickier. And you could tell the way he literally hopped off the floor.
Yes. Yes, and so this is a big blow, man, because I feel like Alex Len, even last night, that thunderous dunk he had coming down the lane, he gives them some good minutes. You know, fortunately, the Kings are obviously, you know, deep at that position now, so we'll see more of JaVale McGee, and obviously our guy Trey Lyles, if he comes back, he'll get some minutes at that. But you hate to see it because Alex was playing some good basketball for Sacramento.
Really good basketball since the last Houston game. And let's face it, he doesn't have all of the gifts that JaVale McGee has, but he he brings a much steadier hand, much more consistent.
Right, right. That's the thing. You know, Alex Lynn is sort of that guy that, you know, is a 10-2 driver. You know, I make this analogy all the time. You know, he'll get you to where you got to go very safely, won't speed, mm-hmm. won't try and, you know, any shortcuts or anything. Like, he's very, you know, stable. You know what you're going to get from him. JaVale McGee, you know, at times, you know, he can, you know, be tremendous. And then at times you look at it like, JaVale, why'd you take that shot?
What happened?
What happened? Yeah. Alex Lynn's not that guy. You know, Alex Lynn's not going to get out of character.
Mm-hmm. We all have this from the 916. Domas needs that C-Web jumper. Yeah, and he's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. Good signs last night, baby steps. And then from the 530, do you think the next step for the Kings is getting Davion and HB over the Yips? I think Mike Brown's tactics worked for Herter. Now, hopefully, it works for HB and Davion.
The Yips?
I know what you're saying, but I don't think it's a Yip related.
No, I don't think so. They're going through a little slump, just like, you know, Kevin Herter and Keegan did.
But HB is just kind of HB.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the thing. Historically, with Harrison Barnes, he'll have one great game. Scoring-wise, and then the next game he has 8 points or 4 points, and you're like, what happened? But at the end of the year, he'll be right around 14, 15 points a game, steady defense. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with Harrison Barnes at all. I just think other guys are playing a little better right now.
Right. And when you have four guys with 20 or more points, you're not going to have five.
Right, you're not going to have five. Yeah, right, not so. All five starters. I mean, somebody has to take a back seat and sacrifice. And
five rebounds, three assists, one turnover. That way, and they won by 12. I think we're good here.
Right, I'm cool. You know, the only concern is, you know, he only played 22 minutes.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, if I'm Harrison Barnes, that's a little concerning. I would argue that's probably the fewest minutes he's played in a long time outside of injury. You know, that's, you know, when you're a starter, because you look at the other starters, 37, 35, 28, 35. Harrison Barnes, 21, 22 minutes.
I still think, and again, this is my opinion, I still think in a perfect world, Sasha would end up playing more and more of those Harrison Barnes minutes. I think he would force their hand. That's what they would love to see happen. Could be wrong. Obviously, Sasha is nowhere near. I know Harrison Barnes isn't what he used to be defensively, but Sasha's nowhere near Harrison Barnes defensively right now, and I don't think he ever will be.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about the defense, because we know Sasha can score. Like, and this is a conundrum for Mike Brown, because if you know, to your point, they do want Sasha to be that guy. Well, he's not as good defensively.
No, he's
and,
not.
You know, it'd be different if it was Mike D'Antoni coaching. I could see that happening very soon, right? But Mike Brown preaches defense. What kind of message does that send? You send off one of your best perimeter defenders, and you bring in Sasha. And so I think it's going to take some time.
We've been talking a lot today about De'Aaron Fox, of course, a triumphant return last night. He limped a little bit down the stretch of the game, and he said himself he got a little winded towards the end of the game, but he was phenomenal last night. So I ask you again, Kyle, I know we've talked about this. Is he a superstar? How close is he to being one? If he's not, what does he need to do to get there?
He is not a superstar right now, Sacramento Kings. Okay. I know. They're about to revoke my credential, right? You know, like, what, Drapes? I don't believe you can say that. There's different levels to what this is. And you know, when you talk about superstar, I mentioned it earlier. I'm talking about charisma, commercials, off-the-court notoriety. Well, Tim Duncan didn't have that. But he had the five rings. So if you're not going to be that guy, Chris Paul in commercials, Anthony Edwards in movies, leading Team USA, well, then you got to win.
A lot.
And so that's where De'Aaron Fox, he's tracking towards that, trending towards that. But when they take on Golden State, he's got to beat Steph Curry in the playoffs. When you go against LeBron James, you got to average 35 in the playoffs and have a big-time showing. That's how you become a superstar in this league, I think.
I remember being on the Warriors. Well, it wasn't the Warrior flagship at the time, but this would have been when Steph came in the league, around 2009? I remember about 2012 having the discussion. Is Steph Curry a superstar? And I remember at the time, a lot of people said, no.
Right.
Well, now he is.
Right.
There's
now
no debate.
He is, right?
But earlier in his career, it just takes time. You have to play at a high level over an extended period, which is not easy.
It's not easy, and but that's what makes the greats, right? I mean, we've seen guys have one or two. Like, was Ben Simmons a superstar? I don't think so.
No.
But he made multiple All-Star teams. He was playing great basketball. But and the problem with him is no sustained success. And so that's where De'Aaron and Ben Simmons turtled in the playoffs, too.
I would call him, and I like Ben Simmons, I would the term for him would be super fraud. And I mean,
ouch.
No, I mean, just like, wow, just nowhere near what he was supposed to be. I know that may seem harsh, but that's what I would. Yeah. Ben Simmons, superstar. No, super fraud.
Nah, I'm not going to go that far.
Okay. That's just my opinion.
That's taking a shot at. I mean, when he played well, like those first few years, he played at a high level.
I would like
level.
To see him get back
Something
to that.
Something happened in Philadelphia that really messed him up. And so, I think his situation was terrible, and now it's just cascaded. I don't know. He was a good player, very good high-level defensive player, too. But back to De'Aaron Fox, you know, when you talk about superstar, you know, and somebody said 10, you know, a player must show up against higher-tier stars to uplift their status. I agree. It's one thing to beat a team in October, November, but I need it on the biggest of stages. And somebody earlier mentioned, well, the Kings are on national TV 22 times. NBA TV not counting for me. I need the TNT boys to do their pregame show and postgame show from Golden One or something like that.
That's another sign that they're trending in the right direction.
Exactly.
But you don't
it's a sign, but you're not there yet.
No. He was third team all league, and then last year they almost beat the Warriors. So, boom, superstar. No, it's just not that easy.
You just not after 1 year. You don't just hand it out. Like you said, it has to be multiple years. Now you make another All-NBA team. You advance maybe to the Western Conference Finals. You start to get that buzz. Devin Booker didn't enter that territory.
Great point.
Until he guided Phoenix to the NBA Finals.
And he's an amazing player.
Exactly. And now, you know, he's being compared to Kobe and all that.
Yeah.
Like, that's where he made his reputation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to have to happen for De'Aaron Fox.
Wow. That's a great point.
Yeah.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's sneak in JR here real quick on Sackdown Sports. Hey, JR, you're on with the Drive Guys. How are you?
The Drive Guys.
Hey.
You guys are awesome.
Hey,
what's up, Drapes? What's up, Whitey?
Hey.
Drapes, did you just say he's not a superstar star? You're going to get things thrown at you in the next pregame in Golden One, man. Careful.
No, that,
lightly.
Hey, that's what fans love about me, JR. I keep it real. I'm not going to blow smoke up their butts.
You don't do those smoke screens. Hey, I will say this. They sure looked good last night. And, you know, everything you guys have been saying about averaging 20 points, well distributed across the court.
Uh-huh.
That is one thing I love about Golden State this year. They are a one-man team. And once that old man does too many Subway commercials and his leg cracks,
oh, shoot.
There will be no more Warriors to worry about. It will be just focused on Denver. That's all we got to do. Hey, though I do love having Herter back and shooting the way he is. I know you've talked a little bit about it, but there's nothing more exciting than get on Twitter and talking about how Red Velvet has sliced through the defense, and he played some good defense.
Yes,
and then it's just fun to have him have a good game. Of course, everyone have a good game, but
JR,
before
I let you go, I got one question for you.
Uh-oh.
This is a question of the day: chocolate chip cookie or oatmeal raisin?
Oatmeal raisin. That's like my mom would make me eat that chocolate chip cookie. Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. It's Kyle and Alan Stiles is with him. There are some people that are big
oatmeal raisin all the way.
I don't understand.
Oh my god! Why don't you just stick some broccoli on top of it? What the hell? Jesus, I'm out.
He said broccoli. All right, man. Thanks, Sarah. Wow. Yeah. So I'm losing that battle, huh? I'm losing that one.
But you've got some, you're like Ace fans. There aren't a lot of you, but the ones that are oatmeal raisin cookie fans, they are very good fans.
We are diehard.
There just aren't enough of them. When we come back, the commissioner's surprising answer to the NBA expansion question with the Drive Guys on Sackdown Sports. Tournament play underway tonight because it's Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Tuesdays and Fridays are group play nights for the tournament,
yes.
Let's be honest, what do you think of the courts so far? The commissioner addressed those last night.
Some of them are good, some of them are a little too overpowering.
Uh-huh.
We're watching Oklahoma City. I'm actually okay with this for some reason.
The blue one?
The blue, I think the blue is softer We saw the Sixers court earlier, and that red is just almost too overpowering, you know. But I'm digging this OKC court right now.
I find that most of them, for me personally anyway, initially they may be kind of shocking with the colors, but once I start watching, it doesn't take me long to adjust.
Right.
Okay, it's basketball. Yeah, it's a blue court. Okay, big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you're watching it. I will say, Oklahoma City, their uniforms and all their, like, they usually do a great job with their stuff. Like, their stuff is really fresh, new, and I'm loving the court. And San Antonio, of course, got... They're not wearing no statement or city edition jerseys or anything like that. San Antonio, those look like just regular
old school
Spurs jerseys. I thought you had to wear that one. Interesting.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a tie game early on there in the first quarter. And then the Warriors are playing Minnesota tonight with no Steph Curry. So, you know, I give up trying to predict how these things are going to go. Obviously, you would think, well, that's not going to go well for the Warriors because they just lost to the Timberwolves, but who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, no Steph, like you said. Maybe this is the game Klay gets going or something like that. Wiggins, you know, but these in-season tournament games, think about it though, Whitey. From a Kings perspective, I probably wouldn't watch, you know, Warriors, Timberwolves. Like, I wouldn't have a vested interest.
But now it's in your group.
But now it's in your group, you know? and so if the Warriors drop, they drop to 1-1. You're ahead of them in the in-season tournament standings. And so these games mean something. I like that.
And I think the Kings and the T-Wolves are tied for best point differential in the group. So
are they?
I think so. So, the commissioner talked about the courts. And he kind of said, yeah, you know, maybe we might have overdone a little bit. He was on the broadcast for the Celtics and the Knicks, and he talked about a number of things, including expansion. According to Keith Smith on Twitter, Adam Silver once again all but confirmed the NBA will expand after the new TV deal is done. So we think we know where they're going, right? You would think Seattle, Las Vegas.
Seattle and Vegas, yes.
And Silver talked about a couple of cities in the U.S., but mentioned Mexico City, Vancouver, and possibly Montreal.
Wow. Actually,
how many teams are they going to add?
I like all those cities.
Do you?
But, you know, Montreal in December, January, no thanks. I can understand trying to get a second Canadian team, obviously. I understand Mexico City, but you're right. It's not the WNBA. Like, how many teams are you looking at? It's not MLS.
Yeah.
You know, MLS might add 32, 34 teams they might get to. I think 32 is the sweet number for the NBA. Right now, they're at 30. To me, I feel like it's a slam dunk, Vegas and Seattle.
Right. Keith Smith says that the commissioner mentioned Montreal, and he said Montreal's reached out to the NBA.
Mm.
But here's the bottom line on this, and I didn't realize this. You know, the NBA, obviously, like everybody else, are looking for new sources of revenue. And if you add more teams, then you get the expansion fees. However, you have to divvy up the TV money per team.
Right.
The fewer you don't want to add a lot of teams and further divvy up and dilute the
expansion
fees.
What's the point of that
fees?
Then, right? You sign a new TV deal, but you got to split it up between more. You want me to give you some inside info?
Yes.
What I'm hearing, some scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt, inside info.
Not saying this is going to happen.
All right.
This is not from a source or anything.
Well, it must be from some source. You obviously can't tell us.
No, but it's chatter
it's like
around
a consensus.
The league. Keep an eye on LeBron in Vegas.
Okay.
Like that's been out there before, but
I think that's picking
up some steam.
If that's your big.
No, but that's almost a slam dunk. I know you're dissing me. You come with something in, big fella. You come with some. Where's your inside info? Oh, my God. That's the last time I bring up a source. That's the last time I bring it up.
That was your Drapes bomb?
It wasn't a Drapes take, though. That's why I saved it for now, you know? That's messed up.
So that will be, you mean as a, they're not talking about him as a player.
As an owner.
Yeah.
Yeah, as an owner. 2027, I'm thinking, I'm hearing, yeah.
And Bronny. Is he eligible for the next draft?
He is, I believe so, because he's about
to healthy.
I don't know if he'll play or not this season, but technically he is eligible for this next draft.
Yeah. So my guess would be that the commissioner here, they probably know where they're going, and then you want to introduce other cities, and maybe that, I don't know, does that drive the, you know, the price up a little bit, getting Montreal in there, throwing around money?
Montreal,
they are French, right?
They are French. Okay, all right.
Throwing around money. We want that team.
Oh my gosh, what is that?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it works. Yeah, all
right, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's how it works. Mexico City, they play there every year. I don't know why, with the altitude and everything.
You've been to Mexico City?
I have not. One of my daughters was just there.
Crazy.
No, I haven't.
2017, I'm with Boston. We play at Mexico City against the Sacramento Kings.
I remember that game.
Yes. I was down there for that.
Was that the game when Rondo went off on Bill Kennedy?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, it was. And that's a wild city, Mexico City. Like, driving in there and everything, it is like a wild, wild west, OK Corral. And so, but I guess there are some nice parts of Mexico City. I just didn't see it when I was there.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas was in that game.
Yes,
right?
He was. Back then. Yep.
Yeah. So NBA expansion site? Probably
Mexico,
not.
I don't see it.
Do you remember a few years ago, the Spurs were playing, I think, Minnesota, and like the gym caught on fire there?
Yes, yes. I do. Somebody just brought that up about a month ago. Somebody was talking about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they had to evacuate, I think, and everything or something. Yeah, I remember that. But Mexico City, you would have to do Mexico City and, to me, another city sort of close by as well. Like, you know, I don't know. Maybe
it has to be Las Vegas and Seattle, doesn't it?
Vegas for sure, right? Yeah. Seattle, everybody's talking about, you know, the redeveloped site of the Key Arena. Old Key Arena is fantastic, but Seattle deserves a team. Yeah, they need a team back. What do you think about Vancouver, though?
I've been to Vancouver. I was never there for anything related to the NBA. I know they just didn't support the team. They had a really nice building, but I don't know why you have a team and they didn't do great and they weren't. Mike Bibby was just talking to us about this, right? And no one went to the games. There's so many other viable cities. I don't know why you'd go back there.
No, I agree. I think it's Vegas and Seattle, slam dunk, 32. Now, I ask you this. If you're the NBA, keep an eye on what happens in New Orleans. Let's say Zion says, you know what?
It's a great point.
I want to get out.
Yeah.
You know, then what happens to that franchise, too? And so this next TV deal is going to be very interesting. But I think it's a slam dunk. Seattle, Vegas, mark it down.
You know what's interesting is that after the Kings left there in 85, Kansas City still doesn't have a team.
Right.
Yeah. And they built a new arena even without a team. They're like, we're going to build the arena, then maybe somebody will come, and they don't have a basketball team.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, same thing with Louisville, too. Like, Louisville's been wanting a team forever. They got that nice new arena that the Cardinals play in right downtown, right on the water. But I just don't see it. I just never see the NBA going there.
And as close as we think the Kings came to going to Anaheim when the Blues were there, Anaheim ain't getting a team.
They
don't have one,
and
they ain't get one.
Yeah, they're not getting one. They're not putting a third team in that area.
All right, when we come right back here, how many wins can the Kings grab on this road trip with Kyle Draper, Weddy Gleason, and you? Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.